Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Thank you, Susan. That was beautiful. And I don't know if you noticed, she was wrestling with that music. I'm glad you were you won. Get that music page to behave. Good morning. Welcome to worship at First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake. Whether you're here with us in person, and I see your smiling faces, or you're watching us online, staying warm at home and safe, please know that it is with great joy that we gather this day to praise God and to announce our blessings to the world. John is going to be bringing a message about serving joyfully. Joyfully. Yeah, I got that right. Yeah, all right. There are connection cards inside your bulletins this morning. Hopefully you also got handed a magnet on your way in. Put it somewhere safe, then on your refrigerator, because you're going to get handed something on the way out too. So just a heads up on that. We have prayer cards in the pews for you. If you or someone you know is in need of prayer, we are a praying congregation, and so if you would let us know, we will share those intentions with the clergy staff, the pastoral care team, and our prayer team as well. So please take a moment to do that. This morning in worship, we have Suzanne Everett and Vince Pronger going to help us celebrate this morning. And I have a few announcements for you. So first up should be the Haiti dinner. Excellent. January 27th. In the conference, statewide voted to support Haiti. During this time, if you have seen any news reports or know what's going on down there, you know things are pretty bad. And so we're going to be sponsoring a dinner here on the 27th. We will have a speaker coming to talk to us about what's going on in Haiti, and we will be able to learn and support our mission and what we are doing down there this year. On January 19th will be your opportunity to have a day on, not a day off, with our Martin Luther King activities. You have two choices. The first is at 8:15 to 11 at the food bank in Whitmore Lake, and 1 to 4 p.m. at the kitchen at Cass. This mission is open for families of all ages, sizes, and configurations, so please consider being a part of that. We will be having a open house listening session information meeting on January 18th. Pastor Lindsay is going to be gathering people together to evaluate and look at how we can update, change, and improve our youth ministry. Oh, it says the 18th. That's next Sunday. Today's the 11th. Today we have a different thing happening after service. You're good, John. Too much on his list. Okay, yes, if you are have youth, if you're interested in the youth program, if you are a youth, please come. We would love to hear your input in how we can grow this program. And then lastly, we have our welcome statement listening session today at 1 p.m. Pastor John will be there. If you are not able to come back or stay for that meeting, we also have paper surveys. But we really do want your input. This is coming out of our Church and Society Committee, and so they are representing all of you, but we want to hear from you as well. So please consider coming back today at 1 p.m. for that. Those are the announcements I have for this morning, and so let's stand and sing our opening hymn, Lord, Speak to Me.
Thank you. Good morning. Would you please be seated? And I invite you this morning to join me in the opening prayer. Lord Jesus, you gave yourself for us, and in your word, you have shown us what it means to serve joyfully. Give us strength each day to serve in your name. Even when we are tired and frustrated, give us love in our hearts to serve with joy. In your name we pray. Amen. We have four scripture passages for you today, so bear with us here. The first is going to be from Psalm chapter 100, verse 1. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. The next one is from Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. Then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, and drink sweet wine, and send portions of them to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord, and do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The third reading is from John chapter 13, verses 14 through 15. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash another one's feet. For I have set you as an example, that you also should do as I have done to you. And our last reading is from 1 Peter chapter 14, verse 10. like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift each of you has received. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you so much for reading our scriptures, plural, Vince. I appreciate you doing heavy lifting this morning with four for the price of one, so that's wonderful. I invite you to join me now in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, and the one who calls us to serve with joy. Amen. Well, we're in the midst of this sermon series about what it means to be United Methodists. Our bishops took on the task of sort of expanding our work as United Methodists into the 21st century. Who are we called to become? What are we supposed to look like, sound like, and act like in the midst of an ever-changing world? I have to say that a part of the work of the bishops was animated by the fact that we had just been through COVID and disaffiliation, and things were happening inside the church and outside the church that were pushing a lot of pressure on us to figure out what the next steps in our denomination might be. And so people gathered and they prayed and they listened and they did a lot of reflective work to come up with these simple but significant taglines for us to hold on to as to what it means to be called United Methodist. To love boldly, serve joyfully, lead courageously. We're in the midst of a sermon series reflecting on these things. So here we are, serving joyfully as United Methodist people of faith. What does that look like? How are we called and encouraged to do that in a world incredibly fraught with issues, broken with all kinds of systematic violence? If you're like me, you probably woke up once or twice during the week looking at the news. That's one of my spiritual practices. I have to admit, it's one of the ways that helps get me out of bed in the morning, because every once in a while I'm either thrilled or excited about something that's going on out there and I want to be a part of it. But these days there have been a number of headlines that have given me great, almost like stomach ulcers, frankly, as I've read the stories and wrestled with the realities of the geopolitical atmosphere and world that we live in these days, and there have been things that have challenged me deeply to the core. I wrestle with the headlines that have taken place this last week. We as United Methodists abhor violence in all of its forms. It doesn't matter whether it's strikes going down into Venezuela or whether it's a shot being fired from a ICE agent in Minnesota. We've struggled with the reality of loss of human life, because in our United Methodist doctrines, we teach that every single person born on this earth is a child of God. I wrestle with that. Even when I look into the eyes of somebody who's committed a whole bunch of atrocities, heinous acts all around the world, causing the death of others, as the president of Venezuela had done, I hold in tension the reality of somebody both being sinner and saint. And when I look into somebody's eyes and I see this whole complexity, I struggle sometimes with wanting to serve joyfully in the midst of all of these headlines. I have a hard time rooting myself in the joy, and perhaps you find yourself in a similar circumstance. One of my mentors, Reverend Faith Fowler, encouraged me when I was going through seminary to find a way to preach with the Bible in one hand and the newspaper in the other. It's hard to do that. A couple of weeks ago, when we were preaching a sermon series, somebody came up to me and said, "Pastor John, why do you think we come to church? Do you think we want to hear about the sad things going on in this world? Do you think you want to just continue to litter us with all of these, you know, sort of negative news stories? Or ought we to go out and find the joy?" I was convicted by that. Early on in my ministry, a lot of people were like, "Pastor John, I love hearing you preach. You're so hopeful and inspiring," or whatever. And then this new piece of feedback, I was like, "John, help me find the good news. You sound like you're droning on about some of the issues in our world, and I'm struggling, I'm wrestling with the realities of that." We live in the reality of that tension. As you walked through the door this morning, perhaps you had heavy things on your heart. Perhaps you were, like me, wrestling with the realities of real evil in this world in one form or another. And I know we might not see eye to eye on exactly where that evil exists all the time, but I think we can agree that there are reasons to believe that there's evil in this world somewhere. And yet, here we are. And there are good things to do. There are opportunities for us to roll up our sleeves and do something about the evil that exists in this world. And perhaps as we look at the events of this last week, you see good people doing that. You see people who are not discouraged from action. You see people who are engaged and working towards transforming the world one person at a time, one conversation at a time, one act of kindness at a time. I'm inspired by all of you and your faithful witness in the world. I'm inspired by the ways in which you, as people of faith, are called to roll up your sleeves and you answer that bell. On numerous occasions this last week, I've heard people testify to how significant and meaningful their prayer quilts have been. I'm here to guarantee that everybody who ties a knot on these prayer quilts as they leave the congregation, as they leave the church service, probably doesn't agree on everything happening in this world, and yet we commit this act of solidarity as a church of tying this quilt together. It's one of the ways that we serve joyfully. If you've never been with the quilters before, I have to say, if you go down there for a couple of minutes, you will leave inspired and uplifted by being a part of that community, but also by knowing that you're doing something for somebody else. You're using your gifts to create these beautiful prayer quilts, and there are times many people have testified when we walk into the hospital with these prayer quilts in hand, it's like, the Methodists are here. We're known by our love. By the way in which we serve joyfully, there are many examples of people serving joyfully. This last week, our longtime lead tech shared with us that he is retiring a little bit more concretely from that particular work. For years, perhaps you aren't aware of this, but I think part of the reason why you can see me up here preaching as we speak is the reality that For decades, Gene Smith has climbed up into the rafters and replaced light bulbs and made sure that all of the light in this sanctuary is working. There have been moments over the course of that period of time, I imagine, that maybe were less fun than others when Gene came in here and perhaps the sanctuary heat wasn't working or whatever the case may be. Walked in here, he's like, another light bulb? I just changed 25 in here. But you'd be hard-pressed to find somebody who doesn't bring the joy like Gene did throughout the course of that ministry. And if you've ever sat there and watched Gene's face when the kids are up here doing a massive theatrical production and he's got tears coming down his eyes as he watches the next generation of disciples up here sharing stories of the faith, I don't want to speak for you, Gene, but I see joy in your face with that huge smile serving back at the tech booth. Thank you for serving joyfully over the years. I also want to report to you that a couple of months ago, we sat down with our district superintendent and our leadership board had an opportunity to report back about things that were going on in this church. And I was incredibly joyful as I listened to one leadership board member after another report on all the things that brought them joy about being a part of this spiritual community. And I'm going to brag about you, Thelma, because one of the things that was so inspiring is when she spoke up, she says, "You know what gives me joy? I love watching everybody in our church come and eat." Who knew that you guys were being watched, right, as you would eat at these tables? She's like, "I love bringing out more food and putting it at the table and watching people take it, and then they eat, and then they talk, and then they share in this joyous fellowship. I love it." Who knew that bringing out cookies could bring somebody so much joy? But thank you, Thelma and Deb and Donna and all those who help put on weekly these amazing spreads. Perhaps you're aware of this, but it's probably the only reason I can get my 10-year-old to come to church. Oftentimes we're sitting at home, I'm like, Joshua, it's time to go to church. Oh, good, I get brownies. You know, it's like there's no negotiation at that point. I'm grateful for that. I went to church for years because of donut holes. Apparently it's in my bloodline. I want to say just a couple of things about what it means to serve joyfully. Joyful service means that you don't necessarily allow the realities of the circumstances of this world to deter you from experiencing a sublime joy of showing up for what you are called to do in this world. For some of us, it takes an entire lifetime to connect with whatever it is that we are supposed to be doing. But I can tell you, when you find that thing, it's amazing to see what humans can do when they're aligned, when their gifts are aligned with whatever they're supposed to be doing in this world, whether it's quilting or serving in hospitality or lighting up the sanctuary and teching or serving on a mission trip or going somewhere else to use your hands and feet. This last summer, as a number of us were over re-roofing the well, I can tell you that there was definitely something about that experience. We were up there. It was like the hottest days of the summer. It was 90, 95 degrees. Most of us had sweat clear through our shirts. We were absolutely dying up there on the roof, but you couldn't tell it. Matt Reister had gathered together a bunch of folks, and we knew that we are saving the church, you know, $10,000, $15,000 by being up there. People were tired, but we were joyous. We were thrilled to be up there. I find myself wrestling with, what is it that brings me joy? Perhaps you find yourself wrestling with that question as well. I can see joy all throughout the entire church. On Friday night, I guess it was just a couple nights ago, we had a parents' night out. If you want to see joy, there's two dimensions I want to talk about. One, there were a number of volunteers who were sitting downstairs. Some of them were our teenagers. They were excited to see the young kids come in. But if you want to see the real joy, just take a look at the parents on a Friday night as they drop their kids off. Bye! See ya! I loved it. It was great. At the same time, craft and praise was going on upstairs in the library. People had brought their individual crafts in, and as I walked by on Friday night, Karen, one of our office staff members, reached out and said, John, what craft did you bring? And I was like, I didn't bring a craft, oh no. But then I was able to bring the Legos up from downstairs. There's joy taking place all over this church. What I'm curious about is, how do we take the joy that we have and translate it for other people? There might be folks who wonder in your midst, why is it that you're able to find some kind of joy in the midst of everything else that's going on in the world? Why are you hopeful? Why are you holding on to this belief that everything's going to be okay? Why are you like constant instead of going up and down with all the challenges and twists of this world? How are you staying grounded and rooted despite all of the circumstances? These are questions that I imagine people will be asking as things get increasingly more difficult and challenging and confusing in the world today. Just yesterday, I received a text message from one of our neighbors. He said, Pastor John, I'm not a religious person. I'm not particularly persuaded by some of the things I imagine you believe in, but I have to let you know that I respect you and Lindsay and what you do in the church, and I'm just confused. I don't understand. How is it that all this stuff can be happening? I don't get it. I was like, come wrestle with us. I don't have the answer to why things are the way they are. I join you in the reality of your grief, but let's figure it out together. There may be folks out there that notice that you have joy, that you're experiencing a kind of a rootedness that comes from God, that doesn't come from ourselves, that comes from prayer, that comes from reading the scriptures, that comes from rooting yourselves in the stories of the faith, as Vince read a little bit earlier on in the service. And I want to bring us back to these couple of passages. This encouragement from the Psalms, Psalm 101, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. I'm just going to invite you to practice something, because it's like 25 degrees out. There's ice all over the roads. And so I want to give you a moment to think about what a joyful noise sounds like to you. Does everybody have one? We'll wait until you do. Does everybody have a joyful noise? Let's make it. Woo! Do you feel a little better? Good. When I was working down in Louisiana after a hurricane, we were all exhausted. It was hot. We were wearing Pyvex or Tyvek suits. We looked like we were in radioactive protective gear. There was mold all over the house. The waters from Hurricane Katrina had receded. The situation was bleak. An entire neighborhood had been destroyed. Everybody's belongings were out front. We were hot, sweating worse than we were standing up on top of the well. It was day 14 or something of our mission trip down there. We were college students, so we could handle some of the intensities of this reality. But I remember it seemed like on the last Friday we were down there, we were just done. We were exhausted. We were tired. And I remember on this particular trip, we just started singing. First, a voice broke out. Then somebody took out their phone and started playing music. Actually, I think it was an iPod at the time. You remember those? They were playing music over the loudspeakers, and we just started singing, and it was amazing how the joy from one person's voice spilled over into the next and into the next and into the next. Sometimes you just have to make a joyful noise when you're singing, and it can transform the entire energy of a space. So we make a joyful noise to the Lord and all the earth. Sometimes joy comes from serving other people. There have been folks over the course of the last couple of years who have found joy in serving by preparing meals and fishes and loaves, by watching people come in and allowing them to experience one meal here in the midst of our church. There are people who have experienced joy by gathering with the Men with Tools. Just this last week, we had somebody come to Men with Tools for the very first time after retiring. Congratulations to this individual. And as they showed up, I text them after the experience because I had to run out from Men with Tools and couldn't stay for very long. And I said, how was it? And he's like, it was so great. I was so happy to find a community to be a part of right after retiring. I hope to make it a regular part of my life. There's joy in serving in Men with Tools. There's joy in playing on the church softball team. There's joy in serving for fellowship time. There's joy in creating cards for people who are experiencing misfortune or hardship. There's joy in serving on committees. Can you believe that? I promise it's true for some people. There's joy in being a part of the decision or being in the room where it happens. There's joy in baptizing. There's joy in being a part of worship. There's joy in making a joyful noise. There's joy in rolling up your sleeves and getting stuff done. I encourage you to find joy. In a book about joy, the Archbishop Desmond Tutu met with the Dalai Lama over a long period of time. They wrote this beautiful book that I love referencing. And in the end, they said that joy doesn't eliminate the reality of human suffering. I'm here to tell you there's almost nothing that we can do to prevent people from experiencing hardship and suffering. It will be taking place somewhere. Jesus promised that in the midst of Mary and Martha. There will always be somebody out there suffering, but you can choose joy. I encourage you to serve joyfully. It's just no fun to serve begrudgingly. It ruins everybody's experience. So find something where you find joy in the midst of it and commit your whole heart to it. If you're looking for a characteristic of what the United Methodist Church is going to look like, it's going to look like people who get up and read the newspaper and see the headlines and recognize that there's all kinds of reasons that we could be sad about the affairs of the world, but instead we choose to roll up our sleeves and serve joyfully in the midst of it. And who knows, you might get a text message from somebody down the street. How is it that you're able to carry out the mission with joy? I would imagine that it's because of your roots that you can find God even in the midst of hardship and challenge. That's what joy's all about. I want to close with this last illustration. One of my greatest joys is helping people find their purpose, to have a conversation with people, and by the end of it, you're just like, I have an idea for you. I don't know if it's a good one, but I'm just listening to your passion and interest. And a couple of years ago, somebody came to me and said, you know, I'm really interested in getting more involved in the church. I love to plug in some way, shape, or form. Tell me about yourself. And they continued to share about what their interests and passions were. And as we continued to talk, an idea came to me, and I suggested it to them. And at first, I'm here to tell you, they hated it. They were like, I'm thinking about quitting. I don't know whether to stick this out. But over a period of time, this individual found that this was actually exactly the place where they were supposed to be. This individual ended up joining our staff. He was a custodian, and you wouldn't necessarily think it, but I met this guy the first time when I just went to a coffee shop in downtown Rochester. Over the course of our relationship, what I noticed about this person was like the most friendly person ever. Everybody who walked into the coffee shop, this person knew their orders and knew everything about them. And I said, he said, do you happen to have any jobs at the church? And I said, we have a custodian position. We talked about it. We hired him. And this individual, every time you walked by him, he would be singing, he would be doing all this joy-filled stuff while he was cleaning, and our entire church got to know our custodian, and he was filled with joy. And you wouldn't think cleaning, you know, walking into the bathrooms and picking up the messes from people would bring somebody so much joy, but this particular individual found so much joy not only in the cleaning, but the fact that he got to talk to all these church people who came in through the building throughout the entire day. This person found joy in something that maybe most of us see as work. He joined the staff. And quite often, people would walk into the church and seek out our custodian to talk to because he was so joyful while he was doing the work. Sometimes they bypassed us pastors because the custodian was the pastor. They were talking with this guy who found joy in everything that he did. My encouragement to you is to find the thing that brings you great joy, to serve joyfully, to find something that makes your heart filled with gladness and do it with your full heart. The world needs more folks like our custodian in Rochester, who even in the midst of vacuuming day after day, even in the midst of scrubbing the toilets day after day, or making sure that the sinks were cleaned out, was singing. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord with all of your heart, and I guarantee you the rest will take care of itself. Amen.
that not joyful? That was great. Good morning. As I prepared for this morning, a couple things came to mind. First, I came across the first blog of the new year from our Michigan Bishop, David Bard. To me, it spoke of this intersection that we're talking about this morning, the joy we feel when we rest in the Lord and responding to that call to action that is our faith that requires of us. Bishop Bard paraphrased liberation theologian Howard Thurman, who wrote a meditation for those days following Christmas, when the work of Christmas begins, and includes finding the lost, healing the broken, feeding the hungry, bringing peace, and making music in the heart. Secondly, on a Zoom call this week, I was invited to consider and discern what I might need to stop, what I might need to start, and what I am called to continue. So those questions stir something different in each of us, right? And I invite you, as we pray together this morning, to let God's wisdom stir in you. What might you need to start, stop, and continue? Let's pray. O God of all creation, we open our hearts to you today in a beautiful world that is also filled with troubles. May the songs of joy and love fill our spirits so that we are equipped for the work you call us to do. May the songbirds remind us of your persistent love. May their flight remind us that you have set this world in motion in amazing ways that empower each of us with the gifts needed to work together for good, to love mercy and walk humbly with you. Lord, we often find ourselves stuck in that humble spot of not knowing how to do that hard work, how to walk with you. Lord, give us the courage to let go of our fears and stubbornness, to work together and follow you. Help us to hear each other and love each other as you love us. We pray this morning specifically for the recipients of these beautiful prayer quilts. We pray for blessings and healing and strength for Greg Geis, Sherry Lowmiller, and Faith Martinez. May these quilts be physical reminders of God's love and the prayers of this congregation. We pray, too, for all those facing health challenges, struggles of all kinds, whether physical, spiritual, emotional, financial. Lord, you tell us that we can bring every trouble in our lives to you in prayer. And so now we take a few moments in the quiet to lay our troubles down and pick up your promises to ease our burdens. Lord, hear our prayers. We pray too for our church, our communities, and all the leaders. Show us how to be your servants that help your will be done on earth as in heaven. Now we pray together these powerful words that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
I'm going to ask Suzanne to stay up here for a second. As the ushers come forward to receive today's offerings, just a couple quick reminders. If you are a guest with us today, your presence is the gift that we treasure the most. So please don't feel obligated, maybe other than to put your connection card in the plate so that we know that you're here. If you are a regular attender and a regular giver, all that we do here is because of your generosity and God's blessing on those gifts. So please know that we are grateful for all that you give and do in this church. And I'm going to ask Suzanne to come over and talk about an advocacy day.
Yes, thank you. So now I get to invite you into a different way to serve, and that is to the Michigan Conference Advocacy Day on Wednesday, March 18th. United Methodists from across the state will gather in Lansing to meet with lawmakers and each other and to ask for funding for food insecurity. The church conference is working with the Food Bank Council of Michigan to craft the best approach, so that is a work in progress. The overall goals, though, of Advocacy Day are much bigger. They're to grow our three C's, our capacity, our confidence, and our connections. As people of faith, we are called to work toward justice, and sometimes that means sharing our priorities for lifting up the most vulnerable, the hungry, and the marginalized. And sometimes that means talking to the people with the power to make a difference at the state level. Perhaps you're already in regular contact with your state representative and senator, and great, we need you. Or perhaps this feels like new territory. Believe me, when it comes to meeting with lawmakers or even just making a phone call to their offices, this is not my comfort zone. However, Advocacy Day helps me build my confidence. And if you find yourself hesitating to engage with lawmakers on topics that are important to you, please consider participating in Advocacy Day. It grows our capacity for the work because we can see results that truly matter. And we're building connections and relationships that will help for years to come. In fact, Michigan United Methodists, by doing these Advocacy Days, this will be the fourth year we're doing it, they are building a reputation for thoughtful, calm, and centered advocacy. The overall feedback we're hearing from Lansing is that our voices are valued, and the way in which we conduct ourselves as Christians is highly appreciated. In fact, lawmakers tell us that the meetings with United Methodists are a welcome counterpart to daily people yelling at them. This is not our approach. When you sign up for Advocacy Day, you'll be invited to online training. You'll meet with others in your district. You'll make a plan. You'll share stories. You'll pray and worship together. When we do this together, no one goes it alone. If you have a personal story about food insecurity that you'd be willing to share or have someone share on your behalf, please let me know or talk to one of the pastors, because we want to share those stories with our lawmakers. So I stand before you not as an example of somebody with all the answers, but someone who is willing to help ask questions, learn from our conference leaders, and share the love of Christ with the community. Will you join me? Thank you.
Lord, we thank you for all the ways you have blessed us. We give joyfully from the blessings you have first given us, our time, our talents, and our possessions. Bless these gifts and use them to serve others in your name. Amen.
I'm so appreciative. Every Thursday morning, there's a group of joy-filled folks who gather to pray over all of the needs of our congregation. This last week, I noticed that they had ended their prayer time a little bit earlier, so I thought they had, because they were walking out of the family room, which is where they typically meet for prayer, and I was curious. I was like, oh, you guys are done early. As they walked by me, they had all these big smiles on their faces because they were relocating. They were not done praying. They have been interrupted by the fact that there were holes being drilled in the walls for our new sanctuary air conditioning system that's being installed. Now, getting air conditioning in January might not seem like joy, but we are getting it done so that next summer we won't have any interruptions in our air conditioning. Perhaps you're feeling called to some form of service. Maybe you're feeling called to be a part of the good news that the world so desperately needs. Maybe you felt called by Suzanne's invitation for advocacy, justice, and change. We're advocating for folks who are experiencing food insecurity. If that seems like too big a leap for you at this particular moment, in the back, our joy-filled ushers have bags that they're going to be distributing that we're encouraging for people to bring back cans of soup for Super Bowl Sunday, which is in a couple of weeks. If you would like to grab one of these beautiful blue bags that we have here at the church to bring it back with canned soups, we will distribute those to Gleaners Community Food Bank and other resources that can help distribute them to people who have food insecurity. There is so much going on in this community. Find your joy. Serve with gladness. Pour your whole heart into it. Thanks be to God for all of you who are answering the bell to serve joyfully. As we depart from this place, may we go with the blessing of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us go loving and serving the Lord. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.